This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
I read that Alabama is, what, about a 7.5-point favorite at home at 8 o'clock at night against LSU. Travis Ryer is here with us from BamaOnline.com. Morning, Travis.
Good morning, guys.
How's it going?
It is going. It's a Fat Tuesday. We got Valentine's Day tomorrow, so a lot going on. And by the way, as you said, speaking of Fat Tuesday in the state of Louisiana, LSU coming in here tonight. There's some hoops on the horizon.
There are some hoops tonight at Coleman Coliseum. 8 o'clock tip on the SEC Network. You also hear it on our sister station, 95.1 The Fox. You know, Travis, we've talked about it throughout the year. You're scratching your head. How do they lose this game? Wow, how do they win this game? Beat Oklahoma, go on the road and beat Florida down in Gainesville and just demolish Tennessee on Saturday. I don't think I've ever seen a team that can go through so many different swings like this team can.
Yeah, they've been really good on Saturdays of late, not so good midweek. So that's the challenge for tonight. And really good against top 25 competition. Five wins this year over top 25 teams. And you talk about the different quadrants we have now that are considered for NCAA tournament at-large bids, and doing pretty well against quadrant one. Still trying to reach a level of maturity, I think, in some ways in which, you know, they can handle the success that we've seen in games against Oklahoma and Florida and then most recently Tennessee over the weekend. So we'll see how they bounce back. They seem to draw off energy of home crowd, and on the weekends that's not as much of a problem. Tonight at 8 o'clock for a Tuesday night tip-off and a game that's going to be on SEC Network, we'll see if they can generate enough energy of their own.
In actual basketball sense, measurables rather than, you know, again, what you're talking about, maturity, it's a great point. They still, are a work in progress there. But in an actual basketball sense, in your estimation, Travis, what was the most impressive part about a 28-point win against a really good Tennessee team?
I just think the complete performance that we saw. And obviously, you look on the offensive end, and they shoot 57% from the field and dominate in the paint to the tune of a 50-18 edge and points in the paint. But defensively, I thought they were in lockstep as much as we've seen perhaps this entire season. You hold a really good offensive club to 50 points in the game. Tennessee shoot 28% from the field. The effort was undeniable, especially when you consider that Tennessee didn't have a fast break point in the game. So they were very much engaged. We often equate, inefficiency or a lack of continuity, which this team has had to endure this year with all the injuries and changes in lineups. So we often equate that to the offensive end of the court. Well, really, where it'll show up as much as anything is defensively. You see blown coverages, you see buckets for opponents, and that wasn't the case on Saturday. So I would say just as encouraging, if not more, than what they were able to do offensively was the way in which they handled their business on the other end of the floor.
Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com, joining us here today. I heard a lot of the national guys after Saturday's game say Alabama's a team you don't want to play now. They're really playing well. They're tough out. I actually even heard one of them go as far as to say he thought they could be a Final Four team. That might be a little over the top. But your thoughts on there again? We talked about playing at home, playing on Saturdays, things of this nature. But overall, athletic ability and basketball savvy. It does seem to me, Travis, that they have gelled and grown and improved throughout the season.
I think they have, and a big part of that again goes back to getting Braxton Key more involved and sort of figuring out, where he best serves you. Lately, it's been coming off the bench, but whether that's been a benefit to him from a psychological standpoint or not, I don't know, but I do like that in the last couple of games, we've seen a more assertive Braxton Key on the offensive end. Now, this is a guy who's too skilled in that aspect of the game to play 25 minutes and take three shots, which is what we had seen a couple times from Braxton in previous weeks. So to see him get his, you know, his shot output up just to 10 shots a game or so, that's what they need from him. Obviously, you want him to be efficient in doing so, but you got to have another guy or two that's sort of perimeter-based anyway that you can kind of count on offensively to go along with Colin Sexton. The two-man game of Dante Hall and Colin Sexton is great, but you still have to have a wing player that is a threat at least to score the basketball. And so, you know, that's what Braxton all along has sort of been expected to be. But, you know, John Petty, I thought it was very encouraging for Alabama in that game Saturday to see him sort of come out of a slump that the previous three games he had made just 1 of 14 threes. He makes 3 of 4 against Tennessee. You know, can he kind of get into a run here, you know, where he's more consistent on the offensive end? So, you know, it's not like they don't have guys that can do it. Again, it's just sort of identifying and settling in with a player or two that you sort of expect it from more on a night-to-night basis.
We as sports fans, we know the numbers, we remember the plays, we, you know, we track the games. We don't know as much off the field as a lot of fans would like. So when we heard for a while that a guy like Reuben Foster needed handling, needed supervision, I'm not really sure I understood the context of all that or the depth of all that. Is any aspect of the difficulties handling or he's having off the field, is it a source of surprise to you at all?
I would say in some ways, this most recent allegation, I would say definitely was. But, you know, as much as we talk about the time that college coaches don't have with players, especially this time of year, there is still a support system in place and there is still a structure in place on the college level. You know, Alabama is now into its fourth quarter program, for example. It's winter conditioning. Well, that was something that, you know, players pretty much after a month, you know, of not a ton of football-related activities, maybe still in the weight room some, you know, a week or two after the championship game, but they're right back into the day-to-day structure of the program. You know, when you become a pro, that a lot of that goes away, and now it's all on you to make the right decisions and do the right thing. And by the way, this is not an excuse for Reuben at all. I mean, he is a grown man, and at this point, it is simple as right and wrong choices. Or so you would think. But, yeah, I mean, it's not the first time we've heard of this type of situation. It's a shame on so many different levels, primarily anytime you're talking about the potential for domestic violence or violence of any kind. That's obviously not acceptable. But when you look at it in terms of what he has on the line,
yes.
You know, that should be enough, you would think, to sort of, you know, guide an individual, but all too many times we've seen that it isn't. So, you know, for Reuben, at the most fundamental level of day-to-day life, it is still obviously an area where it needs to be addressed in a big way, and it needs to be addressed ASAP.
Travis, what can you tell us about Gardner Minshew?
Got a great
pronouncing
name.
His name right? Yeah.
You got it. Yeah. I was telling everybody yesterday he actually signed with Troy out of high school, and he's been around a little bit. Is Alabama after this East Carolina grad transfer quarterback? And if so, why?
Yeah, it appears to be that they are. And it's an interesting question. And I just put a post on the roundtable on BamaOnline.com asking our subscribers to sort of, in terms of importance, how would they rank the need for grad transfers with this upcoming team. And you know, when you look at it right now, it doesn't look like there's a huge need for a grad transfer quarterback. Nick Saban is very much on record that he likes to have four scholarship quarterbacks. But in terms of the job, in competition for the job, Minshew did some nice things last season at East Carolina. That's not to take away from that, but I think we all know that it is very much a two-man race, and a lot of people would tell you it's a two-a-man race, as in Tagovailoa and everybody else. But, you know, who knows? The potential for attrition, obviously, coming out of spring could be there. The potential for maybe a position change could be there. The style of play in which you see Tua and Jalen employ, that leaves you maybe a little bit concerned about the potential for injury. From that standpoint, and if nothing else, bringing in an experienced guy like this, helps you get ready in the fall for opponents. I'm sure Nick Saban thinks about it from that standpoint as well.
Yeah, it is interesting, Travis, wondering where he would fall in the pecking order based on Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts there already, Mac Jones, highly recruited, and where would he fit in the mix? But, if you want four players and this young man's willing to be a part of it, you certainly can't fault him for that at all.
It apparently has some issues involving his family based on what you've been able to sort of put together from reports from SEC Country and some other outlets, AL.com, that just being closer to home may be most important to him right now than anything else. And being from Brandon, Mississippi, as we all know, just east of Jackson, that puts Alabama, you would think, sort of in that mix to have him potentially in the quarterback room come the summer.
Always interesting stuff. Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com. How do people get all the information, and I mean all of it, that you provide? How does that happen, Travis?
Just go to BamaOnline.com or Alabama.247sports.com. Either way is going to get you to us.
Man, Travis, as always, thanks for your time, my friend. We'll talk.